1997. I am Ward Russell, a member of the Outrigger Canoe Club's Historical Committee. Our committee for some time has been conducting oral interviews of some of the more prominent members of our club. Today it is my pleasure and privilege to interview Henry Ayal, one of the club's most outstanding all-around athletes and a longtime member. We are on the board of the boardroom of the club on a beautiful fall morning. Good morning, Henry.
Hello, Ward.
How are you?
Great.
Gee, up and quite nearly. Now, let's see. Where were you born?
I was born on Ho'olehua, Molokai, in 1942.
Yes. You grew up on Molokai?
Yes, I grew up there with my parents in Ho'olehua. Weekends on with my grandparents, Roy and Waldemar Dubuchaw.
Dubuchaw?
Yes.
What a prominent family that was. That is.
Yes, they are.
You went to school on Molokai?
Yes, I did. I began at Kilohana Elementary School.
Put a backup tape.
Okay.
Just to be sure. That's it.
Yeah, I think that was okay.
Yeah. Duval, Duval family, and you're going to school. How long did you stay in Molokai as a youngster?
I lived and grew up in Molokai until I was 12 years old. And in 1955, Rick Rapoon, remember that name? Their classmate of Hawaiian Thakpine, and also a trustee for Punahouie Maui County Championship players. So they felt that we were good enough to play an all-star team from Honolulu. And therefore, this Hawaiian Honolulu all-star team was invited to come to Molokai to play against us. And I was a pitcher at that time. So I pitched against them, and we won. Members on the team, you may remember, like Wayne Foster, Tom and Lee. I mean, they had a very good team. Then they pitch again, and we won for the second consecutive game. So by the end of the game, there were a lot of school representatives on the island. Punahou, Iolani, Kamehameha. And so that's how it all happened, from Molokai to Oahu.
Well, how did you come to go to Oahu?
Well, Mr. Rapoon asked me if I wanted to go to school on Oahu, at Punahou. And I had never heard of the schools on Oahu, so, you know, I had to talk to my parents about it. And actually, I told my teacher at Holomua School, Mr. Henry Wibke, a homesteader, who was our principal and teacher at that time. But to his attention, he told me, "No way, Punahou! That's the number one school! And with your grades, it would be almost impossible."
Really?
Yeah. So, and I was a B average student at that time, but he wanted me to, I said, "Mr. Wilkie, help me. I'm interested. Help me go to school then." So he stayed after classes to give me tutelage, my grade.
What year did you enter Punahou?
I entered Punahou in 1955 because I had to stay back. 55 in the fall. This was after the summer baseball league.
What grade were you?
I was in eighth grade. Yeah. They said I would have to stay back because that's what they're doing to all the athletes that they're offering scholarships.
The grades.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So I can remember going to summer school there, like an exam. And I said, "Exam? Oh, no." So he said, "No, it's required. You got to take it. Don't worry about it. So I took it. In fact, you know what? Let me back up a little bit.
Okay.
Let me back up a little bit. Because this is a funny story, too. So there was some interest from several private schools, like I said, Kamehameha Iolani and Punahou. And so Dr. John Fox, the president of the school at that time, along with Al Harrington, Ekia Spinda, and Harry Picaro, some of the greatest athletes out of Punahou, came to visit me. And here I was on the Ho'olohe homestead with my parents. My mother was teaching me how to talk. And one of the expressions was, if you don't remember, you say, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I couldn't relate to that because we bake things in the oven. And I couldn't relate the same word being, I beg your pardon. But anyway, I listened to my mother and I memorized that sentence. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. So when they finally came to see me at home, Dr. Fox looked at me and he said, oh, you must be Henry Ayal. And I looked up and I responded, I beg your pardon? Henry Ayal, my name is Dr. Fox. I beg your pardon? I didn't want to make a mistake because Mom said to memorize, I beg your pardon. And that's all I said. I didn't want to say anything else. So anyway, we had this, it was a great story. We talked, well, I listened mostly because I was afraid to talk. So they talked to my parents and then eventually said they were interested. So scholarship, Charlie Cook, he was, they told me I would have to take an entrance exam. And at that time, I went to class to take the exam. I read the instructions and didn't understand the instructions. So I'm going to say, oh, no, how can I take this exam if I don't understand? I mean, it was so advanced. Boy, it was so advanced. I was terrified. I didn't even open it. I took it back to the teacher, and I said, I'm sorry. I'm going home. And I said, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. And then James Duell came to see me, the baseball coach at that time. Says, Henry, don't worry about it. Just take the exam. Take the exam. And I said, okay. Anything and everything. I beg your pardon, yeah. Oh, boy. So anyway, the final result was that I failed. So they said, I have to come back to summer school. And they would help me with the school and then after school with tutor lessons. And that's as in desire.
He is
desire.
Well, you graduated in what year?
I graduated in 1959.
59. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your athletic career at Punahou.
Well, I got a full baseball scholarship as a pitcher and a hitter. And I was a pitcher. When I saw that, I said, oh, I can throw that shot put further than them, you know? And this was eight pounds. So I threw it and further than anybody. But at the same time, I kind of hindered my arm because I couldn't get that same control back. Three consecutive years.
As an outfielder?
Varsity, center field.
Uh-huh.
Center field and first baseman.
Center field. Yes. Did you go into any other sports?
I played football. As a freshman, I was on the varsity. That's the first time I had played football because we never had it in Molokai. And I loved it. I loved the contact. And during those days, too, we had a lot of Polynesians, Hawaiians, Samoans. They were big, strong, some of the best athletes around. I played basketball. I ran track. I participated in four sports, football, basketball, baseball, and track.
I was done baseball. How about football?
Football, I was injured halfway through the season. a friend of mine from Kamiki High School. Well, today he's a friend of mine. At that time, I didn't know him. He took me from the back, and that's when I first injured my left knee. And then I quit playing football, concentrated on basketball, baseball, and track.
Interviewed by Penhole?
No, I've never been interviewed by Penhole.
He's going to go to Penhole School.
Great. Great. I've always loved Penhole. You know, whatever we can give back. Well, we did give back. We invested.
Let me interrupt by just saying, after hearing this, I'm sort of surprised. I'm going to get more graduated from Punahou. What did you do?
I received several scholarships from Maimon Colleges. Big barn.
Almost a football program?
No. Just me then, you know? My family then?
Are you from Oregon?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't graduate from Oregon.
Did you professional sports after you finished?
And being married and trying. I was there when I was playing at Oregon State, you know. I do. Actually, you know, I've been real fortunate.
To have this interview, but it's been fascinating.
It is.
The previous time we got around to the Outrigger Canoe Club.
It is. In fact, before we get to the Outrigger Canoe Club, I'd like to highlight some of my business career, if you don't mind, Lord.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, while I was working for Goodyear Towing, there were a couple of us who, especially the favorite pastime, was playing bridge. However, Mr. Hyman Greenstein, especially those five couples, we all, the wives, I mean, we had to, spend some time with the ladies and
Kind of that group.
So that's the first time I really got to know Kimo Wilde McVeigh. And he looked at me and says, you're the boy I want to manage Duke Kahanamoku's. And I said, me? Why me? And I said, no, thank you. I got a good job. And I have to be at home at nights, you know, to take care of my family too. So you'd be ideal. You got the personality, you got the looks and all that. And I said, maybe one day. By the way, where is this Duke Kahanamoku's? I never heard of it. Evelyn was the most popular, most well-known.
How about that? The experience with Duke and the entertainment world.
Okay. In 1960,
for the history of the Outrigger Canoe Club.
I know.
Should be incorporated
the
into the
number
this
one
interview.
Wing old man.
Well, so, were you with Duke when he passed away?
Yes. Well, it was very, very touching because I was at the club. Duke was down at the Nauru K boat at the. He called me and says, "Boy," referring to me, "Boy, let's go eat lunch." I said, "Okay, Duke, I'll be right down." So I drove down there to Waikia Club, and as I was driving into the gateway, I saw him on the asphalt. I went up to him, and evidently he had a stroke. He was there, his brother, had just come by, and we put him on my station wagon, and I rushed him over to, nobody knows this boy, nobody knows this. We rushed him over to Kaiser Hospital, next door. And poor dude had a stroke and was in coma, and he never came out of coma.
I think people, I imagine.
Oh, I have. But, well, the first few years I spent it with Duke mostly, and at nights I worked at the club as a host.
Mm-hmm. Have
it? Yeah, I still have.
It's priceless.
It is priceless.
Would you permit the club to have a copy of it?
We can mix. I haven't seen it since.
Well,
I don't know when.
Yeah, I think. You know? Oh my! This is fabulous.
Maybe we can put it on the tape or something. You know, to try and preserve that, the color. But to date, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I think it would be better.
You know, it's a funny thing. There are a lot of stories written about Duke, but nobody really knew how close.
Duke, I can remember so vividly. Tell me a little about the club there, because there may be a lot of people not familiar with the location and how long it lasted and what it provided.
I believe Dick.
The light went out. I don't know if he got all that recording. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I hope he did. Anyway, I got this backup recorder.
Okay. So. And but the most prominent one was Don Ho.
Down here. I'm going to make a slight change so that we'll be sure to get...
Okay.
Yeah, 1960, let's see. Okay. Don was discovered, brought to Duke Hanover from Honey's, Honey Over. And so he started there in 65 with the Elise, and it became an instant hit. Big hit. So big, we had to offer free shows. The first one was a dinner show at 8:30, including Tabana's Polynesian Review. Following the dinner show, 11 o'clock cocktail show, and a 1 o'clock show. Completely jam-packed, 750 persons per show. Standing room only, with another standing line outside trying to get in. Every night. Can you imagine? That's once in a lifetime. And every celebrity that came into Hawaii wanted to see Don. We had them all. Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Prince and Princesses. I mean...
Yeah, I just get there to make a comment. We've interviewed a number of people. New Duke. Sam Duke, Surf Duke, but nobody there that's ever known this side or ever heard this side of Duke. This is fabulous. I'm just very much impressed. Go ahead.
Just one little side I share with you. Every time when we completed the U.S. Surfing Championships this one year, he wanted to go to Tijuana. So I said, okay, Duke, we'll go to Tijuana. So we drove to Tijuana.
Keep your eye on this to be sure that when we're talking about going to Tijuana.
Yeah, Tijuana. So wherever we go, I mean, people are staring at Duke. Anyway, we're in this Mexican restaurant eating Mexican food. And I look over to across the room at the other table. There's a gentleman staring at us. I'm not sure who he is, but he looks like somebody we should know. Anyway, he gets up, comes over to us, and he goes, Duke! Duke looks up, Phil! See, Phil was in Hollywood a lot. It was Phil Harris. Phil Harris, imagine that, Phil Harris. I mean, they hugged each other and talked about old times, and I just watched everything. But everywhere we went, there was always somebody well known who you do.
So now, what are the? I think so.
We had a lot of stories like that.
We could spend a whole interview on your life at Duke. Let's get back to the Outrigger Canoe
okay.
Club. You met all these people that were members of the Outrigger Canoe Club. So, when did you join?
Let's see. Originally, I was a spouse member through my ex-wife, Cynthia Bell Ames. And I believe I became a member in 65.
Well, then as a spouse member... You had been coming to the Outrigger. Luca, when did you first start coming to the Outrigger?
I first came to the Outrigger in 55, when I was in eighth grade at Punahou.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I used to come down with all the members. They invite me down, but, we were kind of shy, so we always stayed in the background.
Well, now 55, because that was after the end of the war. Things were back. This was really in a boom time in Waikiki.
Yeah, that was at the old location.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was your impression of the club at that time when you first joined?
My impression was, well, it was in, you know, the heart of Waikiki, today where the Aubrey Hotel is, next to the Moana Surfrider. It was, it looked Polynesian, you know, it was low rise, the entrance, as I recall, had volleyball sand courts. And then you would walk through that, and then to the main building for the beverage and dining room. I liked it. It was very open, you know. And at that time, there weren't that many people on the beach, you know.
Well, when you first came to the club in '55, was it to the guests? Was it to swim? Was it to surf or paddle or anything like that?
With some of the members, I came as a guest to play volleyball, swim, paddle, catch waves, you know, surf a little bit. In fact, some of them were Thomas Giles, one of the first guys I met from here when I went to Punahou, Aka Hodgins, Mickey Wadups. Those are my first time friends. And
Had you done any surfing?
Yes, I did.
When did you first start to surf?
I started surfing, in fact, when I came to Oahu, a little by little, out at Canoes. You know, nice, safe place. And I surfed a lot, but I never really competed. I wish I had back then, but never did it.
What kind of boards were you surfing with then?
Ooh, big boards. Long, heavy.
The hollows?
The hollows, yeah. They were big. Almost like a catfish, a sailfish. But they were easy to paddle.
What were your favorite surfing areas?
I liked Canoes. The Kapahulu groin over there, that area.
Well, now, where would Canoes be?
Canoes would be in front of the Moana Surfrider. Moana Surfrider, straight out there. Yeah. Kunas, along with Kunas, too.
Kunas is where?
Kunas is it the next break over.
Towards Diamond Head.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Did you surf at Publix?
Publix, yes. Yes, I have.
Why do they call it Publix?
Why do they call it Publix? Well, because it was a public, yeah. They had a public restrooms, you know, and baths, and it was open to the public.
Right. And what was the break just beyond, outside of Publix?
Castles.
Castles,
yeah. Castles. I remember surfing out there too when George Donovan was out there. Jesus, George Donovan. Fred Hemmings. Ricky Gray.
Oh my, those are all the big names in surfing.
Yeah, big names. Yeah, because, I had the pleasure to get to know them too, because when we started the Duke of Honolulu Hawaiian Surfing Classic in 1965, you know, they all surfed in it. Yeah. It was
when did you start paddling?
I started paddling in Molokai.
Oh, really?
When I was 9 years old. They said, hey, you can make the 12 and under crew. And I said, oh, okay, I try. And that was for the Molokai Canoe Club. And Heilani wanted to come up and challenge us. So they did. They want every event, every crew event, except for the 12 and under. We won. Again. They wanted to race us again. And we beat them. And Baby Bell was with that club at that time. And Patrick Silva. You remember Patrick Silva? Mr. Paina. Yeah.
Don't forget, I was president of the Hawaiian Canoe Racing Association.
All those guys. I remember that. Ward Russell. I remember that name. Back when we were kids, you know. Ward, I used to look up to you.
Thank you.
I said, gee, someday I sure would like to get to know that man.
The friend of your man's.
But you guys were all business-like.
Yeah. Well, you've had quite an eminent paddling career. Tell me a little about your paddling.
Paddling. Well, I started with the club in 1966, the first Mofe race. And since then, I've completed 31 years.
31
years? Hawaii, yes.
How many times have you crossed the channel?
I've crossed the channel 31 times.
31 times?
In the canoe. Beginning with Leilani, Kakina, even the Pa'oa.
These are the names of the crew.
Yeah, these, once upon a time, all called canoes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Do you know the history of those canoes at all?
The Leilani, I've heard some history, different history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Those are the Leilani and the
Kakina.
That's we've got a great history about those. That covers the Molokai race. How about, but I know you've also paddled in some of the annual regattas.
Yes, every year.
Every year.
I love it.
Yeah. Love You're still sport. Paddling, aren't you?
I'm still paddling. I just completed my 31 this year, just 2 weeks ago.
Okay, now, how many winning canoes have you been on? Do you remember?
I've had the pleasure of being on six winning crews.
Six winning crews?
Yeah. Six winning crews and all with the Outrigger Canoe Club. I know I could have been on more because when we won like consecutive years in the 60s, the early 70s, a group of us finally decided that maybe we should go in to another club and help them. Well, in 1973, we went to Huinalu.
I remember.
Help rejuvenate that club. And, of course, we had to Pinky Thompson welcome us there and his sons. And we spent 2 years there and, you know, helped develop that club. And then shortly after that, we knew of Sam Steamboat, Jr. He had a club called Hawaiian Warriors. And that was a great name, Hawaiian Warriors. And Sam, being a great athlete himself, was a good coach. So we decided to go paddle with Sam and see if we can win him again. So we spent 2 years with him. In fact, in 1974, Sam was trying to convince the association to go Ironman Molokai. Ironman Molokai. Well,
what do you mean by Ironman?
Ironman, no changes. Start with six, finish with the same six.
Well, what is the customary? What do they do now?
Since the beginning, they use nine, huh? With three, six in a crew at one time and three alternates rotating in and out. An average of every 30 minutes.
Well, there have been instances where changes have been difficult or something's gone wrong, and they have paddled Ironman mm-hmm. across the channel.
Yeah, we did it 1 year. So Sam wanted to prove a point. He says, okay, you guys go paddle more. Ironman, I said, Ironman.
Did you paddle Ironman?
Yeah. So it was in the crew was Samson Jr. Great stroker. Oh, what a great stroker. Tommy Suisui, who works on the beach. Myself. Bernard Ching, works on the beach too, coach at Iolani High School. Kalani Kaito, who heads the beach service at Royal Hawaiian Hotel. And Leroy Ochoa. Remember that name? Leroy Ochoa, great surfer. steersman.
Outstanding race that you could recall where things may have gone wrong or something spectacular happened?
The wildest experience I ever had was in 1976. That's when the association decided we should start the race from Connecticut. One and only time. And that year, approximately 15 Tahitian crews came. Because in 1975, they were favored, Mani Nui was favored to win. They didn't win, they came in second. So everybody, all the Tahitians were very depressed. So in 1976, they came with 15 crews and figured that one of them would win. So we started from Kanakaya, and I was paddling with Huinolo. So at the start, when the gun went off, the Tahitians took off. You couldn't believe it. Like they had outboard engines. And Tero Opa won that race in 1976. Followed by six other Tahitians. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
How well I remember.